Good evening. We're going to start in a minute. Please join me in the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula Jimimcha Tati Tserua Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sinted Nun. Two words in Hebrew, cross Satan. It means tear up Satan. Eliminate the negativity. Tear it out of your life. That sequence can be used for that purpose. Na Gibor Dorshei Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Bet Tetresh Tzadi Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Bet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Hey Zion Kuf, a sequence of letters that helps spread the speed and spread the knowledge of Kabbalah throughout the world during the sixth millennium, which is the period we're in now. The two letters that are for the month of Sivan, the Resh, which created the constellation Tumim, Gemini, the twins, and the Zion, which created the planet Kohav, Mercury. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati akatenu yodea talumot shinkufav tzadi yudtav. And the last line, which is said in a whisper, I'm going to read a verse from the Zohar. The suffering will again be like salt of Sodom that blinds the eyes to the wicked, to have the verse come true upon them, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, which is a verse from Job chapter 11. These are the wicked mixed multitudes upon whom will come true. Many shall purify themselves and refine themselves and be tried, but the wicked shall do so wickedly. A verse from Daniel chapter 12. Refine themselves refers to the students of the Mishnah, and be refined refers to the holy offspring of the rest of the nation. As it says, and will refine them as the silver is refined. Zechariah chapter 13. But the wicked shall do wickedly refers to the mixed multitudes. The verse is describing some of the things that will happen as part of the process. By studying Torah, one of the benefits of studying Torah, that we should never study Torah for this benefit, but one of the effects is that it's not necessary to go to Gehinnom to cleanse after one passes away. We don't have to go to hell because we'll reincarnate directly, because we are doing the work of cleansing through study of Torah, and it isn't necessary to have that experience afterwards of going to Gehinnom. Everybody goes to Gehinnom, but it's only for an instant, and then we're lifted up and taken to the place to be reincarnated. Or if we've completed our correction, just to be lifted up and taken to the Gan Eden to wait for everybody else. Are there any questions? Earlier I was asked a question about a child who has a nose that tends to bleed more often than the mother thinks is proper, and what that sign, what is that meaning for her life? And just as a general rule, whenever someone bleeds, that's an indication of judgment in their life. The fact that it's coming from the nose is an indication that it's the Zeron pin, and the fact that the nose is in the head is an indication that it's dealing with an intellectual level, a mental level, rather than an emotional level. The child being under 12 and under 13 for a boy, it's an indication that the message is for the parents. We can go on into more details, but that's just a general idea to understand. And I caution you, do not just say, oh, every time I bleed, it's got something to do with judgment. Because judgment is not necessarily a negative thing. If we're doing righteous actions, then judgment is what we want. We want the pleasure that comes from doing those actions. We don't have to wait for that. But if we're doing negative actions, we'd like the time to be able to do tshuva, to correct it, so we don't have to experience the negativity in our life, the chaos in our life, that comes with judgment. It said that King David never slept more than a half hour, and he never dreamt anything that was positive, because for him, the cleansing that took place, whatever he did wrong in the physical world, and everybody does things that are wrong, everybody does things that are considered sins, everybody does things that are create chaos in their life. On his level, those items were cleansed by his experiencing the negativity in his dreams. So he did not have to have them in his life. So there are different ways and different understandings of things. So it is best to ask questions rather than just take a statement that I might give you, like I just did about bleeding, and run with it and say, oh, this means that. Be careful. Think it through. You don't have the full understanding. and neither do I. There are times when it doesn't make sense to me in my own life, and I have to then ask dream questions. I choose to go to Hashem and ask for clarification. But ultimately, you are the best person to know what's going on with you. So even though you might ask me for something, I'm probably going to direct you back to yourself, because you are the best person to answer that. Before we go on, I just want to make an announcement. I've been told about a set of the English Zohar, which is available for $150. It's located in Israel. It's done through eBay, not an auction, but a direct payment through eBay. So it is covered by the insurances of that program. There's another, I believe, $60 on top of that that is for freight, and the freight takes about 8 weeks to get here into the United States. But if anybody is interested, please send me an email. Now, are there any questions? Okay, last week we talked about relativity, and one of the students who's not here this week, so I'm going to not discuss it, asked about if we could talk about the Big Bang Theory. So I'm going to wait until that student comes to the next class before I discuss that. So I didn't really prepare a class. I mean, truthfully, I never prepare classes. I have a general idea. But it's really the energy of the class that tells us what's going on. So I'm going to talk about what's the next few weeks and what is the next cycle, parts of the cycle. Thank you. It's about the 17th or 18th of Sivan. I haven't, I didn't look today to see the exact date, but it is after the full moon. It's after the 15th. And therefore, in about 2 weeks or a little less, we're going to have the month of Tammuz, the month of Cancer. And the Kabbalah is a great boon, a great gift. And it tells us something that no medical person is ever going to relate to. Because as you all know, remember, never believe a word I say, but please try the words, try the things I suggest. During the month of Tammuz, we have the opportunity to complete the aspect, to balance the aspect of judgment, to balance the aspect of mercy with judgment. Tammuz is Tam Vav Zayin. Tammuz is an Aramaic term. It comes from Babylon. It's not Hebrew. And we could go into a long explanation of how the months of the Hebrew months are named in the Talmud by the names that were used in Babylonia, which was picked up after the destruction of the first temple and returned to Israel with the rebuilding of the temple in the second temple. And everybody on the physical level and many of the scholars, the academic people, will tell you that the all of the Hebrew names of the months come from Babylonia, and they weren't really Hebrew, and they were never used before the second temple was built. But that's not really true, because our tradition teaches that the Sefer Yetzirah was written by Abraham the patriarch, who came from Babylonia, who came from Ur Kasdim, which is in Babylonia. And he came, and he was one of the greatest astrologers. I've heard him say the greatest astrologer. But obviously he was knowledgeable about astrology because he wrote the book of astrology called the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah is much more than a book of astrology. But as part of what it teaches us astrology. Now, what is astrology and what is the Sefer Yetzirah? Our tradition teaches us from the Talmud that Abraham wrote 400 chapters of a book explaining to the people of his generation, Kiruv, outreach, explaining there is one God, and this is how you reach him. This is how you connect to him. Today, the Sefer Yetzirah that we call Sefer Yetzirah has 6 chapters left. Where are the other 394 chapters? Are they lost? Perhaps they're lost. Or perhaps they're in the writings of all of the sages over all of the centuries. There is never disappearance in spirituality. But it's true, we lack the merit to have the original book that Abraham wrote, teaching us how to connect. And in today's world, Kabbalah is taught as an intellectual exercise. Most places teach Kabbalah from the standpoint of the Sfirot are pretty, the Sfirot are powerful, let's understand how the Sfirot relate to each other. But there are teachings and writings from the sages prior to the Ari that teach that the Sefer Yetzirah and other techniques, they teach the aspects of prophecy, how to train yourself to be a prophet. Now, we don't have the ability to be a prophet in our generation yet. And we may not be a prophet in our generation. But by training ourselves in the techniques, we can expand our consciousness and make connection with Hashem, which is really what the purpose of getting closer to Hashem is. Make the connection. Achieve your tikkun in this world. Now, I've mumbled and talked now for about 10 minutes, and I have no idea where I was and where I was going, so let's backtrack a bit. And we were talking about the idea by pressing *6, feel free to jump in and remind me where I started. All right, moving along. I did make the announcement about the Zohar. Oh, and I was talking about what's going on in the cycle. That's where the astrology came in. The month of Tammuz, the month of Cancer, which will start in about 2 weeks and run for 4 weeks, 4 to 4.5 weeks, but really it rolls over a little bit into the month of Av, actually 10 days into the month of Av. So literally in about 2 weeks and for the next 2 weeks, we have a period that is relatively positive. That means with restriction, which is relatively easier to do, you will achieve balance. During the month of Cancer and through the 10th of Av, those 40 days, the first 2 weeks are relatively easier. The last 4 weeks of that 6-week period is very difficult. The last 3 weeks especially is very difficult. what does it mean, very difficult? It means it's a period where the Shekhinah does not exist. The automatic universal balancing system doesn't activate, doesn't manifest, isn't available. The only way one can achieve balance in that period, which is referred to as the three-week period, is through restriction. And the universe will make it difficult to do restriction. During the month of Tammuz, which is Tam Vav Zion, during the month of Nisan, the first month of the year, when the Pesach took place, that month was created, that planet of Mars was created with the Vav. During the month of Iyar, starting with Iyar, the month was created with the Vav, that created the planet Venus. The Zion, which is in the current month of Sivan, creates the planet Mercury. But those two letters represent, in a metaphorical sense, the spiritual world and the physical world. The Vav is the spiritual. The Zion is the physical. Tam is the Hebrew word meaning complete, simple, perfection. The Torah refers to Jacob as a Ish Tam, a complete man. He has achieved his correction. Tammuz is a month where we all can achieve our correction. Tam, Vav, and Zion complete the spiritual and the physical connection. That's what the month of Cancer is about. And Kabbalah explains from extrapolating logically from what I just said that the month of Tammuz is the month when all of the disease cancer starts. Don't believe a word I say, but I will also give you the remedy to cancer. The remedy to cancer is to be happy. During the month of Tammuz, it will be more difficult from the cosmos standpoint to be happy. But by being happy, you can assure yourself that your cancer, chas v'shalom, you ever get it, your tumors, chas v'shalom, they ever grow, will not manifest. That's the remedy, to be happy. It's true every day of the year. It's especially true in the month of Tammuz. It's especially true in the three-week period, which ends on the 9th of Av or the 10th of Av. So we have 2 to 4 weeks of relatively easy times. We have 3 weeks of a very difficult time. And then we have 7 weeks from the 10th of Av to the 1st of Tishrei. We have 7 weeks of tshuva, of the ability to get closer to God by returning to God. Those 7 weeks, you will find it easier to return to God because the universe will throw up all the people from your past who you've hurt or have hurt you. You will hear from people you haven't heard from for years. Everybody will come into your life and deal with the things that you didn't deal with properly earlier in your life. Those are the cycles that we're going to be seeing over the next 14, 15 weeks of the summer, 13 weeks, whatever time we're talking about. So I wanted to alert you, and I'll stress it over the next few weeks, be happy. When I'm not happy, I wake up miserable. You are in control of being happy. You can change your consciousness. What tools can you use? Think of one moment of happiness that was in your life. Whenever you're feeling sad, whenever you're feeling down, whenever you're finding things difficult, take a minute, take a second, and remember that moment of happiness. Where you think is where you are. You are in control of your life. These are the tools of Kabbalah. It's difficult to think of those things. It's difficult to remember those things when somebody's yelling at you. It's difficult, but not impossible. You want to be happy when somebody's yelling at you? Just visualize them naked. It's a great tool. Or visualize them with the Mickey Mouse hat. Or visualize them in some way that you find amusing. This is a difficult year, has been a difficult year. It's coming to an end. We only have 13, 14 more weeks before the 15 more weeks before the new year comes in. And the new year is definitely going to be a very powerful year, a year of returning balance. We'll talk about that more in a few weeks, too, because I haven't completed the analysis. But it's definitely a positive year coming up. By the same token, just because it's a positive year doesn't mean you can connect to it. You need to be working on yourself. You need to be looking at your actions, how you treat people, how you react when people treat you wrong. Are you still pointing a finger at them and saying they're the fault? Or are you realizing that you created the condition and they're just being your mirror? I'm sorry to be so harsh and strong in my condemnation of you. Am I really condemning you? No. Am I condemning myself? Yes. Because I haven't achieved it either. I still am working on it. And Bezrat Hashem, with the help of God, I will continue to work on it. Are there any questions?
This is Hilda. Hanoff, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Hilda.
Okay. Okay, you mentioned the number 40. Can you explain a little bit why is important the number 40 for Jewish people or just in Kabbalah?
Sure.
What does that represent? I don't know if you have mentioned that before, can you explain that?
The number 40 is written in the Bible many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
It rained at the flood for 40 days and 40 nights. The nation walked in the desert for 40 years. 40 is there are many other places where the term 40, the number 40 is used.
Mm-hmm.
A simple metaphor to understand is the number 40 represents a cosmic hour. It's what they're saying, what the sages say who say this, is that 40 years represents a cosmic hour for God. So in that sense, and the way they calculate that is to take the 1,000 years and divide that by 24 hours. Actually, by 12 hours. Because God didn't do creation at night. He only did creation during the day. And so, if you divide 12 into... Actually, if you divide 24 hours into 1,000, you'll get something like 41.8. And in the Torah, numbers tend to be rounded. When they're exact, they're exact, and there's a meaning to the exactness. But many times the numbers are meant to be metaphorical, and therefore they're rounded either up or down. So the idea of 40 represents a cosmic hour. That's one metaphor of understanding. Another aspect is that the letter Mem has a numerical value of 40. And the letter Mem is one of the letters that has two shapes. The normal shape and the closed shape, the square shape. The square shape is only at the end of the word, indicating that it's at the end of time, indicating as we approach Mashiach, that shape, that understanding of what that shape teaches us will come to the fore. If you look at MM, and I know, Hilda, you may not have it in front of you, although it's in the book that we've been studying for the Hebrew. The shape of the M is a half circle and then a vav that doesn't close the circle, a line that doesn't close the circle. It's open. And the Mem is an energy of water. Mayim is the Hebrew word. Mayim, water, is the manifestation in the physical world of the energy of mercy, which is why water seeks to share. She seeks to spread as far as it can spread to the lowest possible place. It wants to be sharing. The energy of water is mercy. The energy of 40 is mercy. Different metaphors talking about the same aspect.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions? Okay. Talking a little bit about, since so this class is a have been starting to study Hebrew, although we haven't gotten too far. If you look at the Tree of Life, and I'm just going to touch briefly on if you look at the Tree of Life, there are three lines that go horizontally. One of those lines has the shin, that's the top line. And the shin represents judgment, which represents fire, esh. And the middle line is the letter mem, which represents mercy, as I told you. And the third line is the aleph, which is the first letter. And the aleph represents the balance between mercy and judgment. In our physical world, we can take water and pour it on fire. And what we get is we put the fire out. If we put a pot, a restriction between the water and the fire, we can boil the water. We can make it warm. We can use it. We can utilize it. It becomes the sharing aspect of water in a balanced way. Those three letters, those three lines in the Tree of Life, are called mother letters. Those letters called mother letters represent the three lines. Why do they go horizontal? Because in the tree of life, we are needing to spread these energies. What are the energies? There's sharing, there's receiving, and there's the balance between them. We need to spread the mercy that is the mem and the water. We need to spread the judgment, which is the fire, which is the shin. And we need to spread the aleph, which is the balance between the two. What is the balance, and how do you balance fire and water? The Kabbalists explain that balancing fire and water just takes the fire accepting a little bit more sharing. That's the balance. That's our consciousness. I've used examples in my previous classes of a child who's misbehaving. And the parents go up and give them a little pushy, a little spank on the tushy. Wake up, shape up, stop behaving this way. Are they really angry at the child? Let's hope not. Let's hope they're only doing it because they want to raise their child in a balanced way. So the child knows what is acceptable behavior in the society in which we live. What's the consciousness of the person doing that spanking? Irritation because the child's irritating them? Chaos is going to come back into that person's life, God forbid. Helping the child? Positivity is going to come back to that person. Within that frame of reference, our consciousness defines the reality of our world. Each of us create our own universe, our own world, our own life. Everybody in our life is our creation. It's kind of hard to understand because if I look at it from the frame of the other person, he created me. How do I understand that? I created him and he created me. And who created who? Who's more important? Who's more valuable? Who's bottom line? Everybody is just as valuable to God. Everybody who created the other person. What God does every instant of every day is bring all of these different consciousness into unity, into balance, so that the world exists the way I created it and the way He created it in a way that is balanced between us. Throughout history, that balance has been chaotic. That balance has created slavery. That balance has created pain and suffering. That balance is a process that will reach completion, will reach the Tom, the level of Tom. What do I mean by all of this? The Kabbalists have given us a beautiful metaphor to understand what goes on. When a tree blossoms and you see the fruit of that tree, pick a fruit that you love, a banana, an orange, a cherry, a blackberry, I don't care what it is. When it first shows up in the world, it's bitter, it's not sweet, it's not tasty. Why is that? Because it's not Tom. It's not complete. It hasn't reached perfection. what is all of this pain and suffering and chaos that we look around the world and see is the fruit that is not yet complete. Our lives will become complete. That's the consciousness of Mashiach. Our lives can become complete if we choose to achieve the consciousness of Mashiach. And the Mashiach will not manifest, God forbid, until we bring that consciousness to our lives. How do we do that? When we see pain and suffering that we endure as pleasure, as part of the process leading to completion. When we understand that, we don't have to experience the pain. That's one of the lessons, it's one of the spiritual laws. It's one of the lessons that the Torah teaches us. It's a struggle. It's not easy. And the only tool that works is restriction. So why do I teach you the Ana B'Koach, the 42-letter name of God that was used for creation? Why do I teach you the 72 names of God, which is the 216 letters that form the 72 names of God? Why do I teach you that? Why do I tell you to do that? Why did I teach you the 13 attributes of mercy, and why do I tell you to say those every day? Because those Hebrew letters, which are the 22 paths of mercy, the 22 paths of wisdom, excuse me. There are 32 paths, which are the 10 sphirot and the 22 letters. But the using of those 22 letters changes our consciousness to be more receptive, to be able to do restriction. If you're not saying it every day, okay. Does it hurt me? In a sense, it hurts me. But in another sense, you have free choice. You're going to do what you're going to do. I know that the way the world works and the way the system works is we all will return to the endless. That is the future. Whether we have a long path, which includes pain and suffering, or we have a short path of studying Torah and working on ourselves and judging ourselves, cleansing ourselves, that's up to us. The tools that I've given you in the course of in the 15 basic lessons, those tools are exactly what I said. They're tools, they're mechanisms to ultimately change yourself. Because when you change yourself, you achieve completion, you achieve correction, tikkun. And when you have achieved that, you don't have to be in this physical world of pain and suffering. You don't have to observe another human being experiencing pain and suffering. Because if you're doing this, you're not experiencing pain and suffering. How does that work, and why doesn't it work? People ask this all the time. They come to the study of Kabbalah, and all of a sudden, their life gets better. Whatever it means, getting better. And then their life gets a little more chaotic. They got used to it being better, and now it goes back not as far as where it was, or sometimes it gets even worse. What is all that about? And the sages have given us a metaphor. when we go into a dark room the size of a football stadium, completely dark, and we light a match, we can see a few feet around us, but we can't see the rest of the dark room. But what we can see, we can start to fix. We can start to clean. And as we clean, we're lighting more matches. And the area of light gets wider and wider, more spread out. But also, we get to see more of the same space we were in. We get to see the dirt on the ground. We get to see the furniture not arranged properly. We get to see the toys spread out all over the room. But we still have this space of darkness that's around the light. And we have to continue to clean what we can see. That's what it means working on yourself. Recognizing that nothing was done to you. You drew what happened to yourself for your own cleansing. It's a difficult way to live, but truly it's an easier way to live. Because once you recognize I'm the cause, you don't have to experience the pain and suffering. The letters serve the purpose of helping you attune your consciousness to due restriction. But as the old adage goes, you can take the horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. Astrology, we choose the moment of our birth. The astrological influences are bringing us to those situations that give us an opportunity to do restriction. But it's our free choice whether we do the restriction or we don't. The metaphor that I've used in the previous classes, we are in the multiplex. The movie is exactly the same movie, My Life. In all 3,700,962 movie theaters, it's my life. In one of those lives, I marry this person. In one of those lives, I have 412 children. In one of those lives, I marry that person. And I don't have any children. All of the potential lives that I could live based on my actions are in that multiplex. How do I choose which life there is? Which one manifests in my consciousness? Which one is the one that God balances with all of the other people creating their world with me in it? By whether I restrict or I don't restrict. The movie is a cassette. It plays on. The movie is playing. It's going to play day after day. From my last lifetime, the negativity and the positivity is coming at me. It's going to find me from whatever actions I did in my last lifetime. That boomerang law is still playing out. The boomerang, the metaphysical consciousness, the spiritual worlds, they're not limited by time. They're not limited by, oh, I died and I got reincarnated. They know that this soul did this action and therefore warranted this effect. Which cassette am I choosing? That boomerang is coming back at me. The positivity I want. It's pleasure. That's what we're in the physical world to experience. Pleasure. To be happy. Anytime we're not happy, We're not connecting to the restriction. We are here to be happy, to experience pleasure. Period. End of conversation. There is no more. And yet, we don't experience happiness. Who can say that a toothache, which my roommate got today again, is happiness? Did he ask for the toothache? No. Did he create the toothache? Yes. Did he have a toothache before? Yeah. He left for a year. He came back to Los Angeles. Just before he left, he had the severe toothache that they had to pull his tooth. And now he's back with another toothache. What does that tell you? He's playing in the same cassette. He hasn't changed what he needs to change not to experience the landing of that boomerang called toothache. We're playing out the movie. We're playing out the cassettes. Do the restriction, and depending on the strength of the restriction is how many movies you jump, how many multiplex theaters, how many different theaters you walk into and out of. The stronger the restriction, the more difficult the restriction, the more chaos is removed. The more the automatic robot comes in and cleans up that big room that's in darkness, so that when the light, or as the light turns on, the dust is vacuumed up and the furniture is in place and the toys are put away. You control your life. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough this, that, or the other thing. Crap. You are given everything that you need to achieve your correction. My teacher tells a story of him playing a tennis game with his wife one day in Israel. And somehow the ball went over the fence, and there was no door in that side of the fence. They had to walk around to go get the tennis ball. And here was a young woman walking by. Please, they said to her, throw us back the ball. Save us the trip. But she was in a hurry and walked right on by. Was that her correction? Seems like such a simple thing. Another story is told about one of the people who are called Hebra in the Kabbalah Center, who would go out and spread the knowledge of Kabbalah one-on-one, door-to-door. And the story is told of how, late in the day, being very tired, he knocked on a door, tried to sell the Zohar and spread the knowledge, and was turned away. But it was the only mezuzah on the door in that area, in that apartment building. So he knew the people were Jewish, and so that's why he had approached it. And now he went back to his car, and his car wouldn't start. His car had overheated during the day, sitting. He ran out of water. He knew about that because it was part of the things he dealt with in the fact that he didn't have a new car and he struggled with his car. So he knows he has to add water before he starts driving. So he looked around and he saw that his water that he carried in the car was out. It had evaporated. What was he to do? So he went back to the door, knocked on the door. The same man came to the door, and he asked for some water, and the water was refused. He went downstairs, He found somebody on the street who gave him some water. He filled up. He drove to a gas station, filled up completely, and he was home. And the next day, he was doing the same work again, and he went to the same area. And he was told that this man died in his sleep. Not in his sleep, but with a heart attack in pain. What was the man's correction? Our corrections are simple things. They are not complex. Our correction is saying yes to someone when we want to say no. Our correction is smiling when we don't feel like it. Our correction is giving someone a glass of water. Our correction is picking up a tennis ball and throwing it over the fence. But those things will happen when it is difficult for us to do them. That's the correction, going against our nature. What is our nature? The desire to receive for oneself alone. What is restriction? Stopping that reaction and changing our consciousness. It's the same action. Pick up the tennis ball and throw it over the fence. Yes.
So when you said that the lady that didn't throw the ball, you said that was her restriction.
It was her opportunity to do restriction.
Oh, it was her opportunity, okay.
It was her opportunity to do restriction.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what the relationship between my teacher, his wife, and that lady was in their previous lifetimes that caused them to be the channel for her be given this opportunity to do restriction. We don't see cause and effect. We don't see the full impact. Even studying Kabbalah, we don't see it all. We are limited by being in the physical world. But the essence of our task is to share, to do restriction, to smile when we don't feel like it. Are there any questions? I'm going to wish you all good night. Remind you that there are Zohar classes tomorrow night at 10 o'clock and Thursday night at 10 o'clock. And I highly recommend that you all listen to them. This is the way you can be connected to the Zohar, which is part of the Hebrew letters that cause you to be in a place of balance to be able to do your restriction. If you can't listen up, you're not able to hear it at that time, the recordings are available. Listen to them. These are the tools that will help you achieve this correction. Can you do it by yourself? On the surface, there is nobody who can say you cannot. My teacher says very clearly, and the Zohar itself says, in our generation, in the final generation, in the final end times, the only way we will bring Mashiach with mercy is through the tool known as the Zohar. This is why we stress it, why I read a verse from the Zohar at the beginning of every one of my classes. Because that energy of mercy is being injected into what takes place afterwards. It's a form of restriction. Good night, all.
Good night. Good night, Hanuk.